Book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. Please read.
And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them.
Now here we see Jesus Christ giving a parable, an example. He says there is the man who is the master, who is the lord of some kind of institute or farm or a big business. He is going for the wedding. And he says when he comes back from the wedding and he knocks at the door, and somebody opens the door immediately, then he will be so happy and blessed. And he says, then what he will do, he will come in, and then he will gird himself, and then he will tell these people to sit down, and then he will serve them food. And I was thinking, who is that kind of person? If you are a boss, if you are the master, you have the servants, and you are coming from your trip, or here he says he's coming from the wedding, and so the bridegroom coming from the wedding and gird himself and serves the people. That's the only master I can see, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one. He took the towel, wrapped around his waist, and washed the feet of his disciples and feed them. That's the only master I can remember. But here we say now, if Jesus Christ is coming and he says he is coming from the wedding, and so we have to be with him. And so who are the other people who are left behind, or maybe the Jewish people or whoever they were in the world? He says, when he comes back, will they open the door immediately for him? Now, this is like a twofold. Right now, Jesus Christ looking for people to open the door for him. If you read in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, I am knocking at your door. And if you open the door, I will come in. And he will not only come, but he will have a dinner or lunch or breakfast, whatever the time you opening the door for him. And so he is the only one can come and eat with you. If you remember his disciples after the resurrection, Jesus Christ was showing himself in several places. And then his disciples start saying, I don't know where Jesus is now. We saw him, we touched him, and he disappeared. Now, I don't know what to do. Let's go for fishing. John chapter 21, Peter says, I'm going fishing. And six, seven other disciples all together, they went for fishing. And when Jesus Christ comes in the morning, he says, children, do you have any food? And they said they don't have any food. And you know the story. When they came, Jesus told them, put it on the right side, and they had a lot of fish. But when they came out of the boat, there was already fish and a bread cooking. And Jesus Christ said, come and eat. So only person I can see who is concerned about your soul, your body, and your spirit is Jesus Christ. He says, even though he is coming from the wedding, and he says, I'll knock at the door. If somebody opens the door immediately, those people will have feast with me. I will be the one serving you in that feast. And so we should be so happy that we are born again children of God. We did not keep Jesus outside. He is not knocking anymore. Because we already open our hearts, we are already belong to him, When Jesus Christ comes, we will be gone with him and we will have the marriage supper in the air. But we will be coming back in the millennium, and at that particular time, it is not easy, because once the church is gone, the tribulation starts on this earth and many people will be killed by the devil. But when Jesus Christ comes, we will be with him and we will be having millennium kingdom on this earth. So when Jesus Christ is giving this example, this is twofold. One is saying man is coming from the wedding and he sees the people opening the door immediately, and then he can come and bless them and have the food with them. And so when Jesus Christ is giving this example, Peter got some kind of problem. Is he talking to us or he's talking to somebody else? Let's read verse 38 and onwards. Luke 12:38.
And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not.
Now here he's giving another example. He says, if the robber or the thief told you what time he's coming to rob you, what you would do? You will be watching and keeping watch on your property, and so you will be not allowing the thief to steal. So the same way Jesus Christ saying, sometimes he said, I will come as a thief. And so thief will not announce you what time he's coming. But we should be always ready. So here he's saying, the people who are always ready, they will be blessed. Because the verse 40 says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. So the Jesus Christ did not give us the time, hour, and minute. But he has given us idea of what time he will be coming. Just think that one lady is newly married and her husband went on a trip. And he said, honey, I will be coming within a few days, and didn't tell her what day he's coming. What that newlywed girl will be doing? Always watching on the window or the door when he's coming and knocking at the door. But just think, that lady was not faithful lady, and she just married for his money. And now he went on the trip, calls boyfriend. Now my husband is went on the trip. Could you come? Because he went from here to almost a 4 or 5 days journey. So he won't be coming next week anyhow. And so just think that man changed his mind and says, you know, I didn't get the plane. I'm coming home back. And he comes, and then the lady, he founds with another man. What he will do? So that's what the word of God is saying. You do not know what time I'm coming. You do not know what time he's coming. And so the Christian people, when they hear these things, they get scared. If the Jesus Christ comes when we are sleeping, do we think we have to watch all the time when Jesus Christ is coming? He says, you watch and pray, or you watch all the time. He says he might be coming in the second watch, or he might coming the third watch. Second watch is like almost midnight, and third watch is almost early in the morning. So which watch, which time he's coming? He did not give us the time. So the people are thinking, are we supposed to watch all the time and do not sleep? He's not talking about the physical sleeping. He's talking about the spiritually, you should be awake. Go to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and read from verse 9 to 11.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
See what he's trying to say? God has not appointed us unto wrath. What does it mean? When Jesus Christ comes and he takes us and we will be with him, and then the wrath of God comes on this earth, the great tribulation or tribulation starts on this earth. Other day I was watching a Christian television, and that man comes and he says, we will be staying here in the great tribulation. Because he read in the Bible, after the great tribulation, Jesus Christ comes. So he got mixed up. In Jesus Christ coming, there are two phases. Second coming, he comes in the mid-air first time. That's written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When he comes, and dead in Christ will rise first, and the people who are alive in Christ, they will be transformed, and together we will meet the Lord in the air. That time he does not come and put his foot on the ground. And so the people are confused. So here the word of God is saying, we are not appointed for the wrath. We will be gone. But the people who are spiritually dead or spiritually sleeping, those are the people will miss. So here the verse 10, it says, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we should live together with him. So you are sleeping or we are awake. He's talking about the physical sleeping here. But if we are born again children of God, if you are sleeping on the night or we are awake, we are going to make it. Why? Because we are spiritually alive. We're spiritually awakened. When the person commits sin, we say that person is spiritually dead. And so Ephesians chapter 2, the word of God says, Jesus Christ came and quickened us, and now we are spiritually alive. We are not dead. We don't have to worry that when Jesus Christ comes, he can come in the morning, he can come in the afternoon, he can come in the midnight. We don't have to worry. Only people, they have to worry when they go to the bar. They can go in the daytime, nighttime, and anytime. They will be half asleep in the bar. And if you want to go and witness somebody in the bar, they can listen to you. They say, yes, 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 everything. And next day you ask him, he said, I don't know. No, he doesn't know anything. So you cannot witness somebody in the bar. They have to be in right mind. They have to listen to you and able to make a commitment. Make a commitment that I'm going to give up my sinful life and I'm going to listen to Jesus and I'm going to give my life to Christ. Those are the people who will be ready when Jesus Christ comes. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 41.
Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all?
Now Peter is saying, are you telling this to us, disciples? Because he was looking at the disciples and talking to them. He says, are you telling us, or are you telling everybody? The gospel is for not for you alone. Gospel is for the whole world. Because Jesus Christ has given his life and shed his blood for us. So we should be telling everybody about Jesus. And we should not have any ashamed. The Peter says, is this for us? Or this you talking to everyone? The word of God said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ gave the life for the whole world. As Peter was saying, is this for us? It's for everybody. What Jesus is saying, let's read verse 42.
And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers.
Now here Jesus Christ is saying, you want to know? He says, if the master, going for the journey, and keeping everything for the servants to enjoy, and he says, if the master coming, and if they start thinking, oh, he's not coming. He gave a couple of examples. If they say he's not coming, so the people who are ruling, they start doing unruly ruling and start doing everything what they want to do, what would happen? Now, this is also, Jesus Christ gave this kind of parable to let them know these Jewish people. In that time, Jewish people were only religious people. And all other heathen people, they were worshiping heathen gods and idols. Jewish people only were not doing idol worship. And so, God has given them everything, spiritual. But if this not doing the right thing, he gave the parable of vineyard. He gave the vineyard to those people, and if they didn't take care of it, and he says, he sent the servant, and they killed him, and he sent more servant, and they killed him, and then he sent his son, and they killed him, and then he said, what the landlord will do, the master will do, he said, he will take that vineyard from them and give it to somebody else. That's what happened. He sent so many prophets. They didn't listen. Every prophet God sent, they killed them. And finally he said, now I'm going to send my son. At least they will listen to him. And they killed the son. And now he said, now I'm going to take that from you and give it to the people who will listen. So here he's saying, what would happen? It will be both ways. As the Christian people are not waiting upon the Lord, just like the Jewish people were not waiting upon the Lord. And when Jesus Christ comes and somebody became backslidden, he said, oh, I'm saved and always saved. And once I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm not going to lose my salvation. See what he's saying here. If the master coming and you start drinking and you start going to bar and you start having fun, you beating off other Christians, you're not listening to pastor or anybody. And when the Jesus Christ comes, he said, what will happen? Set their part with the unbelievers. Now somebody says, that's okay with me. If God says, I'm not believing in him anymore, I'll be unbeliever, that doesn't matter. There are people are saying, if you are a believer, and if you believe in Jesus Christ, and you made some mistakes, you will be always son. God cannot deny you as you are not a son. I said to those people, let me give an example. When that Lazarus, the poor man, died, he went to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died, he went in hell. And the rich man is calling Abraham, Abraham, my father, could you please send the Lazarus to dip his pinky in the water and put it on my tongue? So I said to these people, that man is still calling Abraham his father. But where is he? He's in hell. So once you said, I'm born again, I'm a child of God, and I'll be always child of God, okay. But if you are a disobedient child of God, if you didn't obey according to the word of God, you start going to bar, and you start doing all the wrong thing, start drinking and gambling and enjoying the life on this earth, and say Jesus Christ is not coming anymore, and start living a filthy life, he says his portion will be with unbelievers. And so let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 8, where the unbeliever goes.
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Now see, unbelieving, people are thinking unbelieving is not a big thing. And another small thing people think are liars. So the liars and unbelievers, they go with the murderer and all evil people. So the unbelieving people What do you mean unbelievers? Unbelievers means who do not believe in Christ or who deny Jesus Christ. And so those people and all the liars will go to hell. That's what he's saying. Their portion will be with unbelievers. But now we know where the unbelievers goes. Unbelievers will go to hellfire. Now there is another scripture to make it a little bit clear. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Let's read 47.
And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes.
Now here he's saying his portion will be, 46 he says his portion will be with unbelievers. And now at 47 he says he will be having many stripes. He will be beaten with many stripes. Now if somebody has a many stripes, do you think that person will be alive? No. Many stripes you keep on beating. You will be dead. Now I'll prove it to you. Go to the Matthew chapter 24 and start reading from verse 46 to 51.
Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Here he says he will cut him into sunder. Meaning cut him into sunder means he'll make his two pieces. Is he alive or dead? Dead. Not only dead, he will put him in a hell. The word of God is saying, if somebody doesn't want to listen to the word of God and want to walk according to their will and want to do whatever they want to do and thinking they are Christian, he says people can call themselves Christian, and if they not work according to the will of God, they don't listen to the word of God and they want to do whatever they want to do, and people saying God is so merciful, he will forgive all our sins. He is not forgiving automatically. You have to repent of your sins and you have to put it right with God. Otherwise, automatically, our sins are not forgiven. That's why the word of God says, oh, heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Means what? Rest from your sinful activity and your torment. You come to me and I will change your heart. So here the word of God is saying, if you do not look for the master to come and start doing anything you want to do, you will be cut into sunder. And your portion will be in burning hellfire and grinding your teeth. So that's what the point Jesus Christ is saying. Let's go back to the book of Luke chapter 12 verse 48. So he says, much is given, much is required. Now the people, they go to church all the time. They listen every Sunday, maybe 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and they don't change. Then what? My pastor preached every Sunday. And drinking was bad every Sunday. But I have weakness. Your weakness doesn't mean anything to God. He'll say, much is given. What? Much is required. Let's read verse 48.
But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more.
More you know the truth, more you are guilty about the sin. If there was a no law, there is no sin. But now we know, if Christian person says, I didn't know that smoking is bad. Who will say? Nominal churches, their pastor smokes. And what they say? Oh, my pastor is smoking. That means it might be not too bad. There is a Spurgeon. You heard it's a very great man. He used to smoke. And they say, oh, Spurgeon was smoking. And so, but they don't know One day, one man came to Spurgeon and says, "You are very well known, and what we would like to do, we take your picture when you're smoking, and we want to make a billboard. So all the people in Europe and everyone, they will buy a cigarette because they will know this is a great man of God if he's smoking, so we should be smoking." And then he felt bad. "I am trying to destroy the whole world with the smoking." So he gave up. And so there are so many great men smoking today, Christians, thinking Spurgeon did it, so we can do it. You can do 99 times, but the last time you call upon God and God gave you grace and you gave up the cigarette, the 99th time what you do is forgiven. So the word of God is saying much is given, much is required. And so what he's trying to say, if you want to know the truth, you cannot know the truth and deny the truth. If you know the truth and deny the truth, you will have more punishment. I went to the Presbyterian church. They invited me to preach, and I preached. And when I came out, and on this parking lot, all people were smoking. And so when you see from far, the church is on fire. And so I said, "What's happening?" And there was a one man. I said, "Sir, why you didn't smoke in the church when I was preaching?" "Oh, that's a holy place. I cannot smoke in the church, so I'm smoking outside." I said, "You got it mixed up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, you are the temple of the living God. And the 17th verse says, if you defile the temple of God, God himself will destroy you." He said, "I never heard that word." I said, "This pastor will never preach you." And then the other guy in Champlo Street, 3rd and Champlo, there's a Grace Methodist church. They invited me to preach. And I preached there. And the man, 95 or 97 years old man, deacon, he says, "Could you come to my house?" I said, "Yes, sir." I went to his house. And he said, "This many years, I'm coming to this church, but not a single time in my life anybody preach on this verse." When I told him, "You are defiling the temple of God and God is going to destroy you," he gave up like a cold turkey the same day. 97 years old. The point I'm making, more you know, more you have to answer to God. And so let's read the 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. He says, if the person became a Christian and then backslidden, he will have more problem. It was better for him not to become a Christian. So somebody says, "Oh, if I don't become Christian, is it okay?" Yes, you will go to hell, but you will have less punishment, and somebody will have more punishment knowingly doing it.
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
Means you came out of this demonic, evil world, you follow Christ, and now you're going back and going to entangle again. Then your stage will be worse than before. And so we have to be very careful. The word of God is saying, much is given, much is required. Go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 49.
I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?
This scripture is very difficult to understand. Some people come to me, they said, "Hey, your Jesus didn't come to give peace. He says I came to kindle the fire. So that means he was a not good man, he was a bad man." That's what they want to say. But Jesus Christ is saying something. He wants to kindle the fire. Do you know there are now some people having conventions and they are saying fire baptism or the fire kind of convention. What they're trying to say, when the godly fire comes, consumes all the sin and makes you pure. So he says, I want to set the fire for the God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he's saying, I want you to be baptized. I'm looking for that baptism. He's eagerly waiting, but at the same time, the flesh is weak. You remember he says, my flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing. And so many people take it that Jesus Christ didn't want to go to cross. But he says, I am very eager. I am having the desire, so I want to finish that. Jesus Christ is saying, I know before the foundation of the world, I promised to be slain for the mankind. But I am waiting now, and I want to give my life. And so people are saying maybe he was afraid of something. Go to the book of Mark chapter 10 and verse 38.
But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?
Here he is talking to the John and James. So he said, can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? And can you take the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? They said, yes. So the point I'm making here, Jesus Christ was not saying, I don't want to take the cup. I don't want to take the baptism. He wanted to do it. And then somebody says, but when they get Gethsemane, he prayed three times and he said, let these cups, pass. And he prayed three times and they think God did not answer his prayer. Why? Because he was crucified. So that was not the meaning. Jesus Christ wanted to be crucified, but he did not want to die in Gethsemane. If you die in Gethsemane with bleeding, you will be not redeeming mankind. But if you die on the cross, it was a curse. So Jesus Christ said, I want to die on the cross so I can take the curse of mankind. And so the word of God is saying, he prayed in Gethsemane. Go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. He prayed in Gethsemane. What he was praying? Lord, I do not want to die in the Gethsemane. I don't want to die bleeding. Could you pass this cup? I don't want to drink this cup, but I want to drink another cup where I will be crucified. And that's why he was talking to his disciples. I'm ready to drink the cup. Are you? He was not lying. He was not saying, I just wanted to drink, but I don't want to drink. That will be lying. He said, I'm going to drink the cup. Will you be able? I'm going to take the baptism. Are you able? That means he made up his mind to die on the cross. But the devil was killing him in Gethsemane. Please read.
Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared.
What is he trying to say? He prayed with a loud voice, with the tears, and he was saying, I'm afraid to die here. And the word of God says, God heard his prayer and saved him from the death. That is Gethsemane. But many preachers are confused, and they're saying Jesus' prayer, God did not answer. Every prayer Jesus did, God answered. So here the word of God is saying, Jesus Christ was ready and eagerly waiting, because the word of God says, Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. So he was slain means he made up his mind to go to cross. And every time he's thinking, when I'm going to do it, when I'm going to done with this, I want to finish this. And that's what he was saying. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 51.
Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division.
Now somebody will listen to this, and he says, Jesus Christ says, you thinking that I came to this world to give you peace? No. I didn't come to give peace. 52.
For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
Now here we see, if you really born again, and in your family you are the only one born again, then you know how the hell breaks in your house. So here he's saying, I didn't come to make a peace on this earth. So now once you receive Jesus Christ, you have peace in your heart. Why? Because Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, He is the Prince of Peace. You have the peace in your heart, but the other people, they don't have peace because they lost their son. There is a Muslim guy. He was the leader of Hamas, and now he became a Christian. And so all these family are enemy to him. And so this word is true. Once you receive Jesus Christ, your father will be your enemy. If you are a daughter, your mother will be your enemy. And so he says, there will be division in your house. But we don't have to worry about it. Somebody says, if that's the way it is, I want to stick to my family. I don't want to receive Jesus Christ because there will be division in my family. No. Read the Acts chapter 16, verse 31.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.
What is he trying to say? Who is this guy? He's a jailer. Paul and Silas in the jail. And the jail was open and their bands, everything open, and that man was going to kill himself because all the prisoners are ran away also. Paul said, hey, don't do it. We are all here. So he said, what should I do now? He says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. Now, if you read the whole story in that chapter, he took Paul to his house midnight. And all his household, means the people who can hear the gospel, they were listening. And they got saved that night. They got born again. And that same night, they were baptized. The Paul would have said, hey, Jesus Christ says, I came to make a division. So if I bring that man to Christ, his house will be divided. I'm not going to share the gospel with him. But he said, if you are saved, your whole household will be saved. How is it going to happen? Is it going to happen automatically? No. You have to present Christ to them. You have to tell them, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I received Jesus Christ. I got eternal life. I have peace. I have joy. My sickness is gone. My bad problems are gone. I'm living a peaceful life. Don't you know? And then they would say, how can I get that life? And they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because this is a promise. You have to say to the whole family, I am saved. And the word of God says my whole family will be saved. So you have a job to do. Automatically will not happen. When I got saved, my whole family got saved. My mother was a little bit stubborn. She used to do this tobacco and that chewing these leaves. And when you chew the leaf, your mouth will be red. And she used to have a box. And when I said to mommy, this is all bad. You are slave to these things. She said, oh, if God puts me in a hell for these things, I'll go to hell. I said, mommy, I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to come with me to heaven. I said, okay, mom, I make a deal with you. If you don't give up this chewing tobacco and this stuff you're doing, I'm not going to eat food from your hand. So she thought maybe he'll eat in the hotel. I said, mommy, I'm not going to eat from your hand. I'm not going to eat from the hotel. I am on fast from today. And you keep doing whatever you want to do. But I'm not going to eat the food until you give up. She said, son, you are so precious to me. This is nothing. And so I said, I gave a big stone. I said, just break it and throw it. And she did it, and she never used that again. So I was able to win my mother to Christ. So here the word of God is saying, when you are saved, you have responsibility to bring your family to Christ. Automatically, they are not coming. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 54.
And he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass.
Now here Jesus Christ is saying how the weatherman knows their weather. Now this is, he's talking about 2,000 years ago. He's saying, when you see the cloud rise out of the west, now the sun comes on the east and goes back to the west, right? And so the cloud coming from the west, he says, now you know there is a shower coming. And when say he said, when the, you see the wind coming from the south, very cold in the North Pole. So when the wind coming from the south, that wind is not going to be cold, will be hot. So he said, you know, when the wind comes from the south, you know there is a hot. And when the cloud comes from the west, you know the shower is coming. So in short, he's trying to say, you know how to do weather. Now this he's talking about 2,000 years ago, and that's the way weatherman improved their weather technology. But it was known long time ago. Let's read in the book of Job. Book of Job is the oldest book, like almost 3,000-4,000 years ago. Let's read Job 37, verse 17.
How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind.
See, he's saying the same way. When the south wind comes, your clothes become hot, your body becomes warm. So Job knew the weather long time ago. And so the Jesus Christ is saying, now you people know the weather, the wind and cloud, but why can't you know the time today? He's talking to the Jewish people. He's saying, you know the weather, but you didn't know when the Messiah is coming. I'm already here, and you are not knowing my coming. He's saying, why don't you understand the time right now? And so let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 56 and 57 again.
Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time?
He said, you are hypocrites. Can you figure it out? The sky and the earth and the rain and the heat and everything, but you do not know my timing. I'm already here, and you don't even understand. Verse 57.
Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?
So he's saying, you do not know how to judge right and wrong. There are people, they do wrong, and you have to tell them, and they say, oh, I don't know what I was doing. And so when you have Christ in you, when you are born again, child of God, you know right from wrong. Adam committed sin. The day he ate the fruit, the word of God said, now he knows what is evil and what is good. So we have the built-in senses. What is wrong and what is not wrong. But the people are doing purposely. The word of God is saying, you know the truth and you do not want to follow the truth. Verse 58.
When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite.
Now, who is he talking to? He is saying, you have still time. When we are alive, we have still time to make it right with God. And he's giving an example. And they are dragging you to court. When you are dragging to court and you are going together, you have time to settle your case. You said to them, hey, listen, I'm wrong or you're wrong. Let's settle it here before you go to court. And there are some lawyers, they do like this. When our two parties in a dispute about your property or this and that, and the lawyers will say, okay, let's come to the conclusion. Don't go to court. And then they settle. So sometimes you have to forgive one another and settle for less. And it will be done. But he says, you have time. Please try to figure it out before you go to court and dissolve your problem. Otherwise, they will drag you to the court and that they will give it to the judge and judge will give it to the officer. Officer put you in the prison and then you will be there. And now he said, you will be there until you pay your last penny. Now just think that somebody was a 90 years old person went to jail and he has to pay $1 million fine. Can he pay and come out the same time? No. So that means he's trying to say, you're going to die in the prison. Why don't you settle before you go to prison? In spiritually, he's saying, we are here now free people. We are doing whatever we want to do. But the day will come, if you don't settle with God today, if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord Savior today, you will be going in a prison that will be hellfire and there will be no escape. So we have time. Person says, how much time I have? Only time you have until you die. But you don't know when you're going to die. There are some people say, oh, I'm just 50. I have lots of years to go. But they go out and struck by car. Other day you saw the plane and plane crashed. Only 7 or 8 people survived. Other day one plane crashed and one 12 years or 13 years old boy escaped. So point I'm making, our life has no guarantee. And the other one, they were going to Russia and all dignitary, all bankers and all rich people, plane crash, not a single person survived. So point I'm making, in this life, our journey we are doing, there is no guarantee. Somebody says, oh, I'm smoking, I'm drinking, I'm gambling, I'm doing all kinds of evil things, I'm making a lot of money, but I have some time when I get old and I'll say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. You never know you're going to get old. All these drug dealers, all these young people, gangsters, they don't stay until they're 90 years old. They die in their youth because the time is running out. So the Word of God says, you better do it right now and talk to God and settle your case. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm running away from you. This is a long time now. I want to give my life to you and I want to live for you. And he will forgive you. Doesn't matter what sin we committed. A murderer, the prostitute, the killer, the bank robber, or whatever you did. He says, as soon as you say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive all my sins. And those sins are forgiven and forgotten and no record of it. And so we are righteous in the sight of God. Shall we rise? So let's pray and ask God to forgive us and make us new. So when Jesus Christ comes, our heart will be clean. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Please forgive all our sins. Wash us with your precious blood. You have given us chance and many, many chances. But Lord Jesus, give us grace to turn away from sinful life. Turn to Jesus Christ and be a good example to our families. And so they can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, give that fire burning in our heart. So we can kindle the fire and let other people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have given us the truth. We are going to spread the truth around. People are dying without God and without Christ all over the world. But you have called us with a definite high calling. And we are going to go and tell the world about Jesus Christ. We are not going to be afraid what they can do to us. Your word says even though they kill you, they have no power to kill your spirit. But God has power to put us in hell. So we should be afraid of God. Give us grace to love you and follow you. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.